Have you guys ever had that experience where maybe you're reading a book series, maybe it's a trilogy, and you're finishing book two out, and it ends with a big cliffhanger, like the whole story is just coming together, but the third book, the author hasn't finished writing, and so you're sitting there and you're like, you've got to be kidding me! What was this author thinking? And then you wait and you wait, and finally when that third book comes out, you rush to the store, you jump on Amazon and you download it, and you read that first line and it grabs you, and you just know, this is going to be a great story. Have you ever been there? I haven't particularly, because I don't read that much, so let me put it into my context. Have you ever sat in a movie theater at 12:01 a.m. on a Thursday night, Friday morning, depending on how you see it, and you've been waiting for a movie to come out because you saw the teaser, you saw the preview, you were excited, you knew the story, and so you're sitting in the theater, the teasers are done, the trailers are done, and it's time for the actual movie to begin, and here it comes, and you're holding your breath, and the music starts, and you're like, yes! Have you ever been there? I'm seeing a lot of blank faces here. I think a lot of you are like, who would go to the movies at 12:01 in the morning? Are you out of your mind? Well, let me see if maybe I could draw you in, because some of you here, you're with me, but some of you're missing this one, okay? So let me help you here. Imagine that as you were growing up as a little boy, when you were about 10 or 11 years old, your dad came to you, and you'd been watching animations and cartoons, but you'd never imagined what was possible on the big screen, that actually unimaginable and possible things could happen. And your dad comes to you and he goes, son, it's time. I want to take you to the movie. Now, if you grew up that way, that was during the time of drive-ins, not when you went to these nice, big, graphic, cool theaters. And so you would drive to the drive-in with your dad, and just you and your dad would pull into that little spot and put the little speaker on your window, and you'd sit there, and suddenly before you unfolded this event, this thing, this movie that you could never have imagined. And in this movie, there's this guy, and he seems to have powers, superhuman powers. He's like a Superman. And then as the movie emerges, he gets into the suit, and it's an awesome suit that has a big S on it, and he flies, and he saves the world, and he rescues airplanes, and you leave that movie experience never to be the same again, right? I mean, everything is changed in you now. You are brand new. And you leave knowing that this is your hero. This is awesome. And then you can imagine if you're growing up and everything Superman comes out and you're just excited about it because you remember it brings all of that back to you and you're just excited. And so when a new Superman a series comes out or a new Superman movie comes out or anything Superman, you just get excited about it. Now imagine if you're that kid, right, and you get to be 39 years old, and you go watch a movie, say, this year, and you're sitting in the movie, like, say, The Hobbit, and you're watching, and suddenly this teaser emerges, right? And it's a silly teaser. You don't even know why they bothered putting it into something like The Hobbit pre-movie, because it's like this guy, and he's walking around, and he's having thoughts in his head, and you're like, storyline, move on to the action. And that's all happening. And suddenly, at the end of the teaser, this thing emerges from the back of the screen and it comes and it is the symbol. And you know, it's Superman. He's back! And you want to watch the teaser again. You're sorry you missed it. You play it again. I want to hear everything. And you're all excited. So you rush home and you jump online to look to see if the trailer is out, the full trailer, and it's not. And so you wait. And you wait for the trailer. And then one day you walk into church, say here, and one of your friends comes to you and says, have you seen the new trailer for the new Superman? And you go, no, I haven't. And he goes, it's up. And you rush home. And because you have 8 kids, you forget to watch it. And a whole nother week goes by. It's almost tragic. And then finally, the moment comes and you flip the screen open and you push the button and there it is, the trailer. It's coming and you just know the graphics are going to be better than ever. The power is going to be bigger than ever. He's going to be cooler than ever. And you hit the play button and you watch it. Have you ever sat there? I'm still getting some blank looks. So let me try to show you. Perhaps this will help. Let's say you push the button on the computer and this is what you see. Take a look.
The world's too big, Mom. voice. Pretend it's an island out in the ocean. Can you see it?
I see it.
My son was in the bus. He saw what Clark did.
You have to keep this side of yourself a secret.
What was I supposed to do? Just let him die?
Maybe.
I have so many questions. Where do I come from?
You have to decide what kind of man you want to grow up to be, Clark. Whoever that man is, he's going to change the world.
Yes! I mean, come on, right? Let me guarantee you something. Guarantee, okay? Come this summer, I'm going to be sitting in a theater at 12:01 on a Thursday night, Friday morning, with a bunch of other kids my age, and staring at that screen, and we're going to be waiting, holding our breath for the first moment when the music begins. And as the music starts and we know we are finally there, all that we've been waiting for has arrived. We haven't yet experienced the movie, but the music starts. We will cheer, I guarantee it. The whole theater will go, yeah! And then we will watch as a young boy realizes that the world is daunting and the mission that's before him is bigger than he thinks he can deal with. We will watch as a man discovers his power and discovers who he is and steps out, and that moment will come, what the producers have planned for, where he arrives in his full suit for the very first time in the movie and you see the S, and we will cheer again. And we will go, yes! And then we will watch that man go and face enemies bigger than anyone should ever have to face, wilder than anyone could ever imagine. We will watch as those enemies come and throw everything they've got at him, and they will crush him under their weight. And then we will watch as he rises from the rubble and the ashes and stands in the power that he is. And he comes and saves the world, bringing her life and freedom and wonder, and we will cheer again. And then the movie will end and we will leave feeling better than we have in a very long time. And I'm going to be there to do that. Today, we stand in that place. We stand at the edge of a moment. We are sitting in that theater. It's 12:01. The previews are over and we're waiting. And today the music begins. Because today we step into the next epic story of God's adventure on this planet. We get to watch God's mission continue. We get to watch God's kingdom expand. We get to watch God's power move. And we get to do it all as we step into the long-awaited book of Acts. That's where we are today. So today we cheer as the music begins, and we know that as we enter into this book and as we walk into this story, we will also be reminded of how daunting the world is. We will also be reminded that the mission is bigger than we can imagine. But we will discover through this journey in this book that we have a power inside of us bigger than anything we had ever conceived of before. We will discover that we are called to face enemies greater than anything we could have imagined, and we will realize that in our life story, there will be seasons in which the weight of missional living will feel like it's crushing us. But we will discover in this story, in this epic journey, that we will rise up in this story. And we will display and demonstrate things to the world that will bring her life and freedom and light. We will discover that we are part of saving the world. That's what we get started with today. Are you ready? Okay, well then what are we waiting for? Grab your Bibles and let's break open the book of Acts. Here we go, man. Grab a Bible under the seat if you don't have one. We have a bunch of them. Turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 1, page 778 of our Bibles. Or Acts chapter 1, verse 1 of your Bible. And let's begin. Here we go. Ready? It starts this way. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up. Welcome to the book of Acts. We're in it now. There's no turning back. This begins with this incredible statement from this man, the author, to a man named Theophilus. We know from history that the author of this book is a man named Luke. Luke also wrote a other document or account, if you will, that he also addressed to Theophilus and sent out to Theophilus, a former account before he writes this one. We know that as the book or gospel of Luke. And he writes that account to describe the extraordinary reality of Jesus on the planet and the mission of God as it's unfolding through the life of Jesus. And so he sends that to Theophilus first, and now he sends Theophilus a second account that allows Theophilus to read and understand all of the implications of what Jesus had done on the planet and was doing now on the planet. Luke, we discover, was also a man of meticulous and detailed reality. We know this because in the book of Colossians, when Paul is writing to the church in Colossae, he says to that church, I send greetings from my friend Luke, the physician. He says hi. And so we discover that Luke is a physician. And we know some things about physicians, don't we? Physicians are nothing like me. I'm a big picture person. I look at your body and I go, there's organs in there. Let's see what we can do with them. You do not want me operating on you, okay? I will miss hundreds of details and you will die. So what you actually want is somebody that crosses every T and dots every I, that is acutely aware of every detail and that every little detail matters to them, that they are watching carefully. That's how a physician functions. And Luke is a physician, so we know that Luke traveled in circles with people that were in all sorts of high places because physicians were far and few between during this time. And if you were a physician, people were looking for you. You were sought after. So he has influence on a friend of his named Theophilus. We don't know who Theophilus is. There's lots of legend and theory behind Theophilus. We are given no real detail in history. Some believe, as they've done study, that he is a Roman centurion, very highly placed in the Roman army. Some believe that he was an attorney and that in that world he was one of the lawyers or the people that dealt with all of that stuff. One way or the other, Theophilus seemed to be a man that held great power in the world, and Luke is writing to show him, perhaps to convince him, but otherwise just to demonstrate to him the wonder of what had occurred that Luke had clearly discovered in his journey. So, here a letter goes out to Theophilus from Luke, and Luke starts the letter out with an incredibly critical statement. He says to Theophilus, I want you to know, my friend, that this account that I'm sending you is an account following the first one that I sent you about what? About Jesus and all that he did and taught on the planet. This is a critical start to this book because what Luke is saying to us as we read this book is, do not bother opening this book up and entering into it unless you are acutely aware and absolutely familiar with the previous account. Because the previous account is what this one's going to be all about. It would be like handing you the third book in a trilogy that will make no sense whatsoever unless you've read the first two. And so Luke says, Just want to be clear before we enter into this epic adventure in this story. You know about the other one, right? You know about Jesus, right? You know about what he did, right? You know about what he taught, right? Because everything in the story of the book of Acts is still about Jesus. That has not changed. Thankfully, here at Mosaic Church, we have been following Jesus for quite a while, haven't we? We have traveled through Luke's former document, his former account. We have walked through its details. We have studied it, and we have watched, and we have learned. See, because we've been traveling with God on his mission, watching his kingdom expand and entering into the dark domain of our world and the creation as he has expanded redemption, we have watched his power on the move from the second we left the Garden of Eden. We have watched the Father reveal himself to the world through the Old Testament as Jesus and the Spirit plug and play throughout the story, and you watch this powerful and awesome mission of preserving, protecting, and preparing the people to receive the promise. Through the prophets, God reveals himself to us and reveals what's coming. And then we stood there as we entered into Luke's former account, as born onto this planet was a human being in such supernatural events that it blew our minds. And we knew then, at least as we do now, at the beginning of our previous story, that we heard the music of redemption coming, didn't we? We knew what it was, but we hadn't yet experienced it fully. And so we entered in and we watched as Jesus came to be on this planet. We watched as he entered into baptism. And because he chose to voluntarily set aside his divine attributes, making himself less than a servant on our behalf, not diminishing his divinity, but just allowing the attributes of that divinity, the power and the wonder of it all, to be set aside, he enters into human form. And when he is baptized, we see an extraordinary event take place that reveals to us the foreshadowing of God's mission as it expands on this planet. We see the Holy Spirit descend on him as a dove and empower him. And in that moment, the power of God is with him. Even though he had it, he had set it aside. It comes now through the Spirit. And then we hear the voice of the Father declaring with authority over his Son, "This is my Son. Step back. He's coming." That wasn't verbatim. That was my take on it. But basically God going, "Hey, I am placing all of the authority of God, the God of the universe, on this person because he is the divinity in flesh and blood." And Jesus leaves that pool and the mission begins. And we followed him, didn't we? We watched him do unbelievable things. We watched the kingdom born out of him. We watched the words pouring out, and we said, "Who teaches with this kind of authority? Who touches the dead and sees them alive? Who heals the sick? Who speaks to demons and sees them depart? Who does this?" And we stayed real near to Jesus because we were hoping some of it would just rub off, like come, because we were drawn to that kingdom, weren't we? And then he sat in the Beatitudes and he taught us all about the kingdom of God. "This is the kingdom of God. This is where I'm from. This is who I am." And then it came, the words from him. He said, Do not fret any longer, for the kingdom of God is near you." And we discovered when we went through that, he didn't mean like, "Don't worry, it's around the corner." He meant, "Look, I'm right here. The kingdom of God has come and it is near you. It is with you. I am with you." And we thought, this is it. This is the epic story. That God was there revealing himself. Now he's here with us. The kingdom has come. Awesome! And we traveled with Jesus, and then he died. And he rose again by the power of the Spirit. And we walked with him for 40 days, listening to him teach and demonstrate who he was. And then he ascended into heaven. See, we've traveled that road, haven't we? So when Luke says, "In my former account, Theophilus, you and I must hold tightly to everything I just said," We must hold tightly to everything we've learned about Jesus. We must hold tightly standing there watching him ascend and go, now, what now? That is the book of Acts. So Luke goes on to say these words. I shared with you everything he began to do and teach until the day he was taken up. After he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He was taken up right after he gave commands to the apostles through the Spirit of God so he could send them. Now we stand here and we go, what is Luke talking about here? What is he saying? And we remember, don't we? We were there when Jesus ascended, and right before he ascended, what did he tell the apostles? He told the apostles a specific command. I can sum it up in one word. Go! Go now! Go! Go into all of the world, and as you go into your world, make disciples, bringing them into the redemptive reality that you have with you. Go! That was the command. And Luke says here, all these things happened, and then right before he ascended, he gave a command to the disciples to go. And he gave that command, how? By the Spirit. Everything Jesus did, man, you go read the gospel again. And filled with the Spirit, by the Spirit, through the Spirit, Jesus did the following. And you're like, oh man, it's awesome. And here by the Spirit, Jesus does something extraordinary. And we are reminded here as the book of Acts opens up, we're reminded of what he did, aren't we? We stood there when he did what? He took the mission that we've been following all these years, watching God do on this planet, and he handed us the mission. You see that? See, he'd been revealing himself to us, pursuing us, protecting us, preserving us, preparing us. That was his mission. Then he came to us, came into a human body. Can you imagine how uncomfortable that might have been for God? I mean, look at us. It's like, you're stuck in this. That is not a comfortable place. But he came anyway into what was completely insane for him. He allowed us to beat him, mock him, reject him, kill him. That was not comfortable, but he came and he brought the kingdom to us. He was on mission. And what was his mission while he was on this planet? To make the kingdom of God known, to make redemption known, and to bring us into the kingdom of light. And now he says, go. The mission is yours. We launch into the book of Acts, sentence number one. The mission is yours. Good luck. That's kind of how I feel. Like, wow. I mean, half of me goes, that's unbelievable. I mean, really? Have you ever been in that position where you know, at some point someone gave you something that you're totally not ready for? I remember walking out of the hospital with my first child. She'd just been born, and they're going, good luck, have a great day, call us if you need anything. And I'm going, will she die if I breathe on her wrong? Where do I lay her down? Am I holding her correctly? What have I done? That's how you feel, right? But yet the other half of you goes, this is unreal. This is unbelievable. I'm ready. I know I am. I feel it. I'm not. I can't do it. Why me? All of that's going on. And as God hands us the mission, that's where we stand. We've just been given the mission of God that's been unfolding all this time, and it's ours now. And as though you stand there going, that's incredible. It doesn't stop there. Watch. Luke goes on to write these words. Verse 3, he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. What is Luke saying here? He's saying, remember, Jesus not only right before he ascended into heaven handed us the mission of God, saying it's yours now. You're ready for it. Go take it. But not only did he say go, but he told us what to do when we went. He gave us in our hands the very kingdom of God. He gave us the mission, but he also gave us the kingdom. It says it right here. He shows up from the dead. That's big, okay? That's like, whoa, what world are you from? That's kind of that moment. And he goes, look, I really am back. I'm really alive. Here are some proofs. I'm showing up. And what is he doing? Doing what he's been doing since the second he showed up on planet Earth. He is demonstrating and displaying the kingdom of God, and he is declaring it. He is speaking it out. It says it right there. He showed us he was back, and he taught us about the kingdom again. Why? Because he's saying to us, I want you to go, my mission is yours, and I want you to take with you the kingdom of God. I want you to take with you redemption. I want you to take with you life. I want you to take with you light and freedom. I want you to take with you all that is the kingdom of God, righteousness and beauty and power and awesome stuff. It's yours to take. Have you ever been handed something that you know is very important, and the person says to you, please do not lose this, and you know the second you get it, you're gonna lose it? Maybe you haven't. I do all the time. I have things like ADD, so I know. I've got rules like only handle it once, only handle it once. Have them give it to you quickly, run and give it to somebody else. Otherwise, it will be lost forever. So can you imagine for a person like me, when God, the God of the universe, gives me a mission, I get excited about it. I'm a little overwhelmed, but I got the baby thing. And then he hands me the kingdom of God. And I go, I'm going to lose it. You understand? That's what I do with stuff. I'm going to set it somewhere. It's going to go away. I'm going to search for it. It's going to be lost and the world will die. Do you have any idea what you just did? God, you just handed the human, the kingdom of God and the mission. I know you're wise, but you got to think this through again. That's how I feel. And I get to this part in Luke, and he goes, the kingdom of God is yours, all of it. It is now going to reside in and through you. And as you go into the world, into your circles of influence, into your workplaces, and into your social networks, and into your travels and your vacations, as you enter into your missions that you go and you serve the world around the globe, as you move, it will move with you. And you stand there and you're like, this is really cool. I'm really blown away, but I'm really overwhelmed. You don't understand my life. See, I'm powerless most of the time. I just kind of fumble through, and I'm trying, I really am, but it seems I fail more than I succeed. You should hear the words that come out of my mouth. You should hear the thoughts in my head. And God goes, I know, shh, I'm not done yet. We're only on verse 3. There's verse 4. Watch. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem. This is Jesus ordering the apostles, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. So you've heard the whispers of it from John's baptized, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. See, when we hear stuff like this, verse 4, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. In other words, you will receive the Spirit of God. He will come unto you. We kind of go, that's cool. That's our response. Because we've lived for thousands of years in the age where the Spirit of God was available and came and sealed every person that came to Jesus. See, no matter who you were, Jew, Gentile, slave, free, you knew if you came to Jesus that the Holy Spirit was part of that deal. So we've lived under the ideology, the theology, if you will, that we receive the Spirit of God because we know Jesus. And that is correct. That's what we've lived under because it's been our reality for thousands of years. But that was not the reality of the apostles. They had not yet lived in our story. See, in their story, when they looked back on the Old Testament, here's how it worked. The Spirit of God was on the move, but whenever the Spirit of God showed up and came onto somebody, they turned into people like King David. You understand? They were like, whoa! The Spirit of God came on him and bam, he was King David. Or the Spirit of God came upon him and bam, he slayed thousands of armies that were against him. Whoa! The Spirit of God came upon him and he prophesied wondrous and beautiful and unbelievable things. And whoa! See, every time the Spirit of God showed up and came on someone, you knew that in that moment, the power of God was with them. That's why when Jesus was baptized and the Spirit of God descended on him like a dove, it was a big deal. People were like, oh! He has been empowered. They didn't yet know that he was divine, but it's kind of a cool picture for us to see. And when Jesus said to the apostles, "My Spirit is going to come, and you are going to receive him," that was mind-blowing. Do you know what that said to the apostles? I have given you my mission. It's yours. Go. I have given you the kingdom of God. Take it with you. And I am going to give you all of my power. My power. He will come and reside in you, and you will have him. I won't lose the kingdom. I won't fail the mission. That's the moment you have if you're me. You mean I get it all, the power, the whole lot in me so I can do this? Yes, Renaud. You're human. You're going to need me. I'm not that unwise. And there I stand. You see, in essence, what just happened to us in the first four verses of the book of Acts is this, that Luke just said to us, just a quick reminder, as Jesus ascended into heaven, you are given the mission, you are given the kingdom, you are given the power. The authority and the power are yours now. The authority and power that was God's in the Old Testament was handed to Jesus as he entered our planet for our visible viewing, even though Jesus already had it. He made himself a servant, so he received it again in a very mysterious and wondrous way. And then he hands authority and power to the apostles, who hand authority and power to us, the church, who take authority and power and go. That's where the book of Acts starts. Here's what Jesus is saying. God's story is yours now. You get to be God's story. That's ridiculously cool. That's unbelievable. And as we enter into this epic journey, as we have packed our bags last year and at the end of this year and beginning of this year, and we've stepped over the threshold of our comfort zones into a world unknown, a world full of need for redemption, which means it's a messy, dark, dead world of all sorts of stuff. And we know if we step into that world, it's going to be messy. We know that there's an enemy in powerful, dark places waiting to kill, steal, and destroy all that we have, bigger and more powerful than anything we can imagine. And as we step over the threshold of comfort into mission with our little backpacks back going, I'm so scared. We start the book of Acts and God goes, I know you're scared, but listen. I am not just sending you. It's going to be hard at times. The weight of being redemptive is hard at times. You take on stories that are hard at times. But listen, you have the mission. You have the power. You have the kingdom. You have my story. Go. Trust me. Live it, and you will see what happens. What we're going to discover as we enter into the book of Acts and its full story is this. Paul writes about it in the book of Ephesians. I want to read it to you real quick. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul is writing, it's one just an amazing passage of scripture, Ephesians chapter 2 as a whole. But in the middle part of Ephesians chapter 2, he says, he's speaking to the Gentiles of the world. Now, the Gentiles were those people that were not Jewish, and so they were not part of God's people until this incredible redemptive reality of Jesus appeared, and they were grafted into the story, brought into the story. So Paul is writing to the Gentiles saying, once you were lost, once you were not of God, once you were not part of God, you were not part of the story, other than you were the people on the planet through whom God was demonstrating what it looked like to be lost, and we were the people that God was demonstrating what it looked like to preserve so that he could make himself known to all of you. But now something dramatic has happened. The full scope of God's story has appeared to us, and this is what he writes, verse 19 of chapter 2. So then you, that's us Gentiles, are no longer strangers and aliens to God, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. You see, there it is. We're reading in Ephesians about what's happening in the beginning of the book of Acts. We are the house built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. The prophets, through the power of the Spirit, spoke the revelation of God, the promise of God, who came as God, Jesus Christ. And then Jesus passed the authority and power to the apostles, who in turn became the foundation for our story, that we would carry God's mission, God's kingdom, God's power into the world. And then it says this: Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. All of this is about Jesus. It's his story. It's his deal. It's all about him. He is the thread that holds everything together. He is the cornerstone. He is the glue. He is everything. And we are a house because of him. And on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus, the cornerstone, builds us. And for what? Look, in him, verse 22, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Do you hear that? You and I, we will discover, are discovering, as we walk into the epic story of the book of Acts, that we are the dwelling place of God. We are the presence of God captured. When Jesus was on the planet, God dwelt in the flesh. When Jesus left, God dwelt in us. We became the body of God. And we are the body of God. And he lives in us. We are the mission now. We are the kingdom of God. We are the power of God. And we go for God, with God, through God, by God. That's what we discover. You understand that a story's just been handed to us that has such potential that if we tried to imagine its implications, we couldn't. And I can imagine some stuff, guys. I've tried. I'm like, God, where does this take us if all this is true? And I expend everything I've got in my dreaming power, and it just falls flat. Because the potential of this story is bigger than that. We've just been handed the story of God, the mission of God, and the kingdom of God, the power of God. And we're standing with it in our hands, and he's going, are you ready? And the book of Acts is understanding what that all means and watching the story on the planet unfold when it's lived out. That's the book of Acts. We're gonna walk through history as we stare into the unfolding epic reality of the church on mission for God, carrying the kingdom of God through the power of God. We're going to see what that means. It's going to be mind-blowing. And then we're going to be shown how to live in it. And it's going to be mind-blowing. How do you even process that kind of information? I don't know. I've been trying. But let me tell you this. As you sit with that new reality, and as we open into the book of Acts, you sit back and you begin to dream again, don't you? You begin to step back and say, if this is possible, does that mean that I could actually become the husband or wife I want to be, the father or mother I want to be, the roommate or friend I want to be? Does that mean I could become the coworker I want to be? Does that mean I could actually carry the kingdom of God into the hostility of my workplace? Does that mean I can actually make the kingdom known to others around me even though I'm scared? See, you and I wrestle with the same question that Superman wrestled with at the end of that beautiful clip we watched. He said, my dad said, the world is not ready to know who I am. Because whenever the world bumps into this kind of power, this kind of freedom, at first they are afraid. They must be, because it is opposed to who they know and what they are. And so you are first rejected, first feared, first thought of as weird, first pushed out. Is that not what happened with Jesus? And yet, as that begins to happen in us, we realize that as we face those enemies that are against us, and we face a world that will fear at first the power of redemption, that if we walk into it, eventually we rise up out of the ashes and we stand world changers in every sense of the world. Because we've carried the kingdom of God into places, we begin once again to dream of the possibilities of what it could mean to live like the redeemed. And as Superman asked, what do you think? Do you think the world is ready? to meet me. I say to that, the world is ready for us. We may not think she is, but she is ready for us. It is time, folks, to go tell the world who we really are, to show them, to say, excuse me, we are the redeemed. Our souls are rescued. Our purposes are restored. We have been handed the mission, the kingdom, and the power. And we come to you with freedom in our hands, with light in our hands, with life in our hands. Do not be afraid. We come to bring you Jesus so that you might be saved from the dominion of darkness. Let's dream again. Let's dream of this. In 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter writes these words about what it is we have now become and what it is we can once again dream of. Listen, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. As you come to him, Jesus, the living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious. So as you come and embrace Jesus, who is the living stone, and he becomes your Savior and your Lord, you come to him, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. What is he talking about? What he said in Ephesians, or what Paul said in Ephesians. We become the dwelling place of God because we have embraced Jesus as Savior. The Spirit of God is in us now. And though because he resides in us, we begin to live a life through Jesus Christ. And we become an acceptable sacrifice to God. What kind of acceptable sacrifices do we present? Well, Romans chapter 12 tells us that. Therefore, dear brothers, in view of God's mercy, present yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, for this is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you will know the will of God. We become the sacrifice. But not in a horrid sort of a way, in a beautiful, missional, kingdom of God, powerful sort of a way. Our lives are lived for Jesus now. We no longer live, but Christ lives in us and through us. That becomes our story. Now watch. In that same chapter, in that same passage, here's where that story goes. Verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You want to know where we're going in this movie? You want to know what we're going to discover? We're going to discover who we are. We're going to discover the power that is within us, that God lives in us and through us. That we are no longer the ones who are alive, but he is alive in us. That we carry the kingdom of God on mission through the power of God. And we will discover that the world is daunting and that the missional world we step into, the mission we're called to, is difficult. It will feel like some days it is crushing us. We will stand face to face with enemies in high spiritual places that will seem more powerful than anything can overcome. And as we are buried under the rubble of missional living and the difficulties that come with that, we will find ourselves there, consumed by the power of God, and we will rise out of the ashes, and the world will stare as we bring light and freedom and life into the world, and she will be in awe, and she will cheer as she discovers Jesus in us. Buckle your seatbelts. That's where we're going. Just wait till you hear what's going on in verse 5. But that's next week. Let's pray. God, thank you so much that we stand at the beginning of a new epic story in the book of Acts that's so deeply tied to the story from which we have now come. And in the very first 4 verses, we discover that you have handed us your mission, your kingdom, your power. Your authority and power are ours, your story is ours, and we are your story now. Spirit of God, we desperately need you to show us what that means. Take us on a journey through this book. Reveal to us in the story what it looks like to be filled with the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to be intimately and completely engaged in the Spirit. Show us what it means to find this wonder in the community of God and the Word of God as it births in us the power that we need to live this mission, carrying your kingdom into the world. Spirit of God, rise up in us and help us dream again. Dream again of our place on this planet, of our purpose, that we get to carry life and freedom and light into the lives of others. We get to scream and shout at them, "You will not believe what I have found. You must come see." Oh God, we are excited. We are scared, I gotta tell you, God. But we are excited because we know that in the end, when it's all said and done, we will have risen up in you and the world will see the power, the beauty, the love, the light, the freedom, the life that is you. And we will have played a part in that. That's ridiculously cool, God. Thank you. We love you, we adore you, we worship you.